Hey, it's Matt Bove from It's Always Game Day in Buffalo. This NFL offseason, we can fit 25 hours in a day, and that's because of podcasts that make you more productive. When you're folding laundry, paying bills, making omelets, or any other task that you've got to get done, listen while you work. Do your chores and be entertained all at the same time. It's all about the bills, the news, insight, analysis, and of course, some jokes too, on demand, so it fits into your busy schedule. Follow the It's Always Game Day in Buffalo podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Matt Spiegel, and I can't wait to bring you Season 2 of the PBP, Voices of Baseball. The very best play-by-play voices in the game talk about their craft. It's a job so special that even Joe Buck told us he will probably go back to it.
I'm 53, basically 54. I think it's too early to say nevers at this point in my life. I think at some point I'll get the itch again.
Incredible guests sharing great stories from your favorite teams coming this year. Find us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find podcasts.
All right, it's always game day in Buffalo, 1 week away from the 2024 NFL draft. Maybe you're listening to this a little bit closer to that, but that's when we're talking. In fact, Matt, it is actually literally just 1 week away. It's 8:40 p.m. when you and I are talking on Thursday night, April 18th on this podcast. And at this exact time, a week from now, teams will be drafting. But the Bills currently where they're standing at 28, we'd still have to wait a few more hours. I looked it up. 11:30 p.m. is when pick number 28 occurred last year.
Yeah, it'll be a late night. It'll be a late night regardless of what happens. But if Brandon Bean gets anxious and antsy and decides he wants to trade up, well, at we're recording this at 8:41 on Thursday. This would be like the second pick. So this is not going to happen. But maybe if he gets into the top 10, that would happen sometime between 9 and 10 o'clock. So people wouldn't have to stay up as long as they will. The draft itself is on ABC locally in Buffalo. And we can't start the 11 o'clock news until after the draft ends. But the draft doesn't end until 12:30, 12:45 in the evening. So all of the people who work back at the station to do the 11 o'clock news don't get to go home that night until late, late, late. And that's kind of the case now for the next few months, because not only is the draft, we also have NBA playoffs and NBA finals. And those nights are especially tricky when it's like a 9:09 tip on the West Coast. And then it goes to overtime and you're like, wow, just let me go home.
Well, we will talk more about when they will draft a little bit later in this podcast, because this is probably the last pod we're going to have before the draft. Now, if something really major or significant happens, we'll try to bring you as much content as we can on that, you know, if it does happen before the draft. But between now and the draft, this should be the last one, because Matt, we are going to talk again. But when we talk again, we're going to have Mike North on the next podcast. We're scheduled to talk to him next Monday night is when we're going to record, the week leading up to the draft. And we want everybody to know that, because maybe people have schedule questions out there that they want to send us to ask our buddy, Mike North, when he joins us next week.
Yeah, it's like I mentioned on the end of the last episode, it is my favorite one that we do every single year. I am a schedule junkie. I cannot get enough of it. I think it's so interesting how they put all the pieces together. He has very graciously kind of given us little tidbits of news over the last couple times that we've done it. So hopefully that continues again. I actually had a few people who were tweeting about this today, or they weren't tweeting at me, but I saw them tweeting about it. And it's an interesting theory, but they were saying they think the Bills would start the season on the road against the Texans. Against Diggs week one.
I can see it.
But I was thinking about it. Do you really think they would start 3 years in a row on the road?
I don't think it matters. The Cincinnati Bengals started 7 straight years on the road not too long ago.
Really? I did not know that. I did not know that was a thing. I don't know. That seems a little excessive. And also, if it's Texans Bills, that's probably a primetime game. So not only would it be 3 straight seasons to start the year on the road, it would be 3 straight years to start on the road in primetime, which is just really weird to me. Like, it doesn't feel like that needs to be a week one game.
I don't disagree with you. I think that their chances are less, but I don't think it really matters when they look at it. And in fact, though, I would also tell you this, though, Matt, they do have more of a chance to open on the road than home, because you have more road games this year. You have 9 road games and 8 home games. So, but yeah, if you go back and look, I believe it was 2011 through 2018 that the, or 17 or 18, that the, maybe 9 through 16, something like that, though, the Bengals every year on the road, like 7 straight seasons, they opened up the season on the road. It was a thing when they had a home game. But if anybody wants to tweet at us, at SalSports, at Matt_Bove, questions for Mike North on the schedule pod, we are very excited for that. We're also very excited to you know, talk about what happened at One Bills Drive on Thursday, because the Bills were finally back. They've been there all week working out. Sean McDermott said about 95% participation rate with the guys coming in at the voluntary workouts. We heard from Brandon Bean. We heard from Sean McDermott. We heard from Josh Allen and Terrell Bernard. Let's, I guess, go in order here. Brandon Bean is who we heard from first. Was there anything that stuck with you from what you heard from Brandon Bean?
That he said he doesn't think the Bills need a number one wide receiver, or what we think is a number one wide receiver, which makes me think they do need a number one wide receiver and they are planning on addressing it. I saw Bill Belichick say on the Pat McAfee show, whether you like Bill Belichick or you hate Bill Belichick, I thought his opinion was valid, that the week leading up to the draft, the months leading up to the draft, you cannot believe almost anything until you're in that like 24-hour window, and then actual leaks kind of start happening and you have to monitor that. I am not saying that Brandon Bean lied to us. I think that they can get to that point in their head of saying like, hey, with the right weapons, we think we can have success here, but they want a receiver that they pick or a receiver that they trade for to be a number one. They want them to be as good as possible, right? Like, that's the upside there. You don't draft a receiver because you're like, yeah, you know what? This is a good, safe pick. We just think that his floor is pretty high, even though his ceiling isn't very high. So we're going to go with that. No, they want to, of course they want to find a number one wide receiver. Every team wants to find a number one wide receiver.
I agree with everything you just said. And it's always tough because you don't want to say Brandon Bean's a liar, but we all know he's going to say what is beneficial to him and not give things away. The way I look at it is what he said on Thursday about, hey, you know, we don't have to have one to be successful. And he said, I'm not sitting here thinking we have a gaping hole. Mm-hmm. What he's doing, Matt, to me is he just doesn't want to give up any leverage, because if he wants to move up in the draft, or if he wants to trade for a player, if it's a Brandon Ayuk or a T. Higgins, whatever, if there's somebody out there who's available, he does not want to put himself in a position where that team says, oh no, baby, you just told your fans you need one. You better come out with one somehow here. So you got to pay even more than what the going rate is and what I would have asked you for. So I just think that that's what he's doing here. Now, I also would tell you, in his heart of hearts, he probably believes, look, if we didn't have one, or if we got one, he is injured, we have Josh Allen and we can still be successful. But I think Brandon Bean understands and knows that the best way for this team to take the next step and to continue on the path they're on and to take the next step is to make sure they have a bona fide number one true guy. And that guy's not on the roster, admitted by him. He said, we don't have a guy to fill the number one role right now.
Yeah. And I think that it's probably unrealistic to think whoever they take, assuming they take a wide receiver, can immediately step in and fill that role. So this is going to be a conversation that we have over the course of the next several months, all the way through the season, unless they do something crazy. If they make a trade for a legitimate player, or they trade into the top 10 for one of the top three guys, then I think you can have the conversation of, okay, they've replaced Stephon Diggs. But even if they make a trade up in the first round to get like a Brian Thomas Jr. or an A.D. Mitchell, I don't feel good saying that they've got a new number one wide receiver. I think those players have the potential to be a new number one wide receiver, but I think there are very few things that could actually happen that have me saying, okay, they've definitely found their number one. I think whatever they do is going to be, okay, this guy has the potential to get there, but the offense is going to look different, and I think they know that, even though obviously this is still a very big priority for them.
So, you know how...
Hey everyone, this is Brett Boone. Would you know it? I've got a podcast going strong in our fourth year. Tune in as I sit down with my friends, some of the biggest names in sports, media, entertainment, for a lot of fun and in-depth conversations. As you know, baseball's been my life. It's been in the family for a long time, but it's a lot more than that here. It's sort of like taking a ride in a golf cart around a beautiful track. Join me every week for multiple episodes on the Brett Boone Podcast, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, when you read something, it can look or sound different than when you actually are there, right? Well, that happened today, I think, with his quote about the top 10. What he said was, hey, I'm not getting any calls from teams in the top 10, and you wouldn't expect to. He said, but there's no rule that says I can't call anyone in the top 10. If you see that quote, there's no rule that says I can't call anybody. You kind of look, it looks like he's saying, hey, I need to jump up there. He wasn't saying that. What he was really saying was, look, I can do it if I want. But then he also looked at John Morrow, who asked the question. He said, do you think they'll take my call, John? Which is basically him saying, look, it's very, very hard to do that. It's probably a waste of everybody's time if you try to do that. I also wouldn't rule it out, Matt, that he makes those calls, and you never know what's going to happen. I mean, today, his good buddy Joe Shane is talking about how he was stunned, or he's surprised. Joe, I don't know if you saw this. Joe Shane was talking about how surprised he was, how much interest there is in the six pick, the number six pick. So maybe that's just him drumming up more capital. Yeah. Who knows? But I wouldn't doubt that Brandon Bean might make a call like that. But I do find it interesting. He talked about, you know, the challenges of trying to go that high. Now, he also said that, you know, as the further you get down, obviously you might be able to do something like that. And he used Dalton Kincaid last year as an example of, look, you know, he said, I had a deal in place to move back. I really liked the deal, but he really liked Dalton Kincaid. And he took the chance. If there's a guy there and I need to get him, I want to get him because I want to go to bed on Thursday night thinking that I got the guy I wanted.
That's the quote. The part of all of the long answer that, like, I want to go to bed at night knowing that I got my guy, basically. And I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that's why I have always thought, and also evidence shows us this, that the Bills are way more likely to move up than they are to move back, even though logically and from a resource standpoint, moving back might make more sense. Now that they do not have a third round pick, it would make a lot of sense that if you were at 28 and you didn't love any of the receivers to move back into the second round, probably add a third round pick. And then all of a sudden you can add three guys on day two. That would be a really nice haul for the Bills. But I just don't think Brandon Bean is wired that way. I think that when he says they've got more first round grades than they did last year, but not 28, in my mind, that means I'm going to do everything that I can to make sure that I am picking a guy in the first round that I believe has a first round grade, and then we'll figure out all the other stuff. I also thought it was interesting how he said the drop off from his first round grades to his second round grades is not nearly as significant as their drop off from like an early second round grade to a late second round grade. So I feel like there's a lot more players like in that range, which does make the possibility of a move back interesting, but I still don't think it's super likely, even though it probably should be, because I do think it would be pretty good.
Yeah, I agree with that about his quote about the drop off and where the difference is right there. And that might mean that he wants to go down and get, you know, extra picks. I also still find it very significant that they got a second round pick next year. Mm-hmm. After not getting that third round comp pick, where they said that kind of messed up their plans and kind of blew up, you know, some of what they wanted to do. So he doesn't get the third, he gets the fourth. So now he goes out and he gets a second next year. Well, what else did he say today? He said, and we all know this, but he said it, if you're talking about next year's draft picks, you're always paying a round higher. Mm-hmm. Well, that means, guess what, Matt? A third round pick this year is equal to what? A second round pick next year. So he wanted to use that third round pick this year. He thought he was going to get as capital. He got it back in the form of a second round pick next year.
I also think it just gives you more flexibility if there's something that happens that you love, because there is a way that they could convince themselves in their head that the Minnesota pick would be a higher second round pick than mm-hmm. what theirs is. You would think that right now. Minnesota's kind of in a great spot to get a franchise quarterback if they can get up the board, and that would be a really good, successful landing spot because of the pieces that they have. But if Minnesota is an okay team, that pick is going to be in the late 30s or the early 40s. Now, if you're the Bills, you could say, we don't want to give up our first next year, but if we love something, maybe we only wait 10 picks later than we would have picked in the first round anyway.
That's a great point.
Like, if they finish this season the same way they did this year or for the last several years, and they're in this range of like 26 to 30, kind of where they've been, the Vikings could be picking five or six picks after that. And then it's like, well, then it's worth it because, yeah, we gave up a one, but we also got a Roma Dunze or a Malik Nabers. So I just think that it's an interesting poker chip to have, because if, let's say, you want to make a big move and that requires two ones and a two, that's a lot, but you could maybe keep the Minnesota two. I think that it's a really interesting position.
The Bills general manager, Brandon Bean, spoke. There's a lot more that you can hear and see WGR 550 and, of course, WKBW TV Channel 7 in Buffalo, where Matt Bove is. I'm Sal Capaccio, and we also heard from the Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.